Welcome to Inspiration from the Couch. I'm Avery.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm Lucy.
Hello, 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 listeners. So today's topic, we are going to talk about envy. And this podcast was, I've been thinking about it for a little while. I read a book from Elise Lunan called On Our Best Behavior, The Seven Deadly Sins and the Price Women Pay to Be Good.
It's a good book.
It is a very good book. I highly recommend it. We'll put a link in the show notes. It's great. She's a very smart lady and someone that I'm envious of. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. So I think envy is actually a pretty misunderstood emotion. And I think a lot of times it gets confused with sort of its cousin, jealousy. And so I thought, as I usually start these podcasts with definitions, so let's talk about the difference between the two. So according to the Oxford English Dictionary, jealousy is being troubled by the belief, suspicion, or fear that the good which one desires to gain or keep for oneself has been or may be diverted to another, resentful towards another on account of known or suspected rivalry. And then envy, as defined by the same dictionary, is the feeling of mortification and ill will occasioned by the contemplation of superior advantages possessed by another. So all those fancy words, I think the key difference really...
Yeah, please put it in simple English. Yeah. My mind like glazed over. I was like, I have no idea what the heck you're saying. I know,
listeners, if you're still there, tune back in. Tune back in. I'll bring it down for you. So I think really the key difference between the two emotions is that jealousy actually requires a third party. So for example, maybe you have a sibling and you're jealous of your sibling because they get more attention from your parents. Or maybe you have a coworker and you're jealous of your coworker because they're getting lots of kudos from your boss, or say you're in a dating relationship and you get jealous of someone who maybe starts talking to your boyfriend or girlfriend and you're worried there's potential rivalry there. Mm-hmm. So always involves a third person.
And like a threat of some sort. Like it
yeah,
seems
like
a
threat.
Talking,
there's yeah. a fear. It's definitely a fear about potential loss. And there's usually always, again, there's like a target there.
It's like you have this thing and I don't want you to have it, because in a way it feels like you having it means I don't have it. Like if you get it, that means I can't get
right,
it.
Right, right, yes.
That I'm jealous of you because you're getting something that I want for myself.
Yes.
And because you're getting it, I feel like I can't get it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. There's okay. like a, there's definitely
there's a
like an underlying, there's a target.
Like if Jamie, if you just get the hell out of my way, yeah. I'd get this thing that I want.
Exactly. There's definitely like a scarcity kind of
competitive. That's what I was going to say, yeah. right underneath it.
Yeah, there yeah. is. There's definitely a scarcity. Whereas envy is a little bit different. It is more of a one-to-one type of emotion. Uh-huh. So it's something that, or someone has something, or they're doing something that you want for yourself. And usually there's a social comparison there. Yeah, usually a social comparison. And usually it's with people that are similar to us in some kind of way. So for example, you know, I'm taking back over kind of the social media stuff and I have to give myself breaks because a lot of times I'll look and I'll see like these very popular mental health professionals on social media that we are similar in kind of what we're doing at the Badass Rebellion, or they're psychologists or people in the field, and they're able to convey what they want to say, like in really accessible, clear, essential kinds of language. And while I admire them, I'm always like, damn it. You know, like yeah, I want
so
that. Like
yeah,
I want that for me. I want that for us. Like they're great. Dr. Becky Kennedy, Nedra Tawab, I'm talking to you, yeah, Adam exactly. Grant, like, you know.
And it's like, almost like you don't want Adam Grant not to have it. You don't feel like there's only so much pie and you're getting a piece. And so I
right.
don't, but you are like, damn, that's good. Like, yeah. oh man, that's really good what you're saying or how you're saying it.
Yes.
And like, I wish I was that clear, succinct, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's also kind of this, like, you feel like you've maybe fallen short in some kind of like standard or status, you know, like, ugh, you know, like,
or just you feel like crap about yourself.
Yeah, you feel like crap. Like I'm such yeah. a loser. Like I'm such yeah. a loser compared to this other yeah, gotcha. Individual. So have you guys thought about that? Like any between like the two different emotions? Have y'all thought about it much before?
I like that distinction because I think, you know, honestly, like from a like biblical Christian perspective, envy sounds like the seven deadly sin. We were just talking about yeah. that before. Envy sounds worse somehow. Like jealousy feels like a little bit more like normal or like typical. Like, but when I think about this, I'm like, man, of the two, I don't know. Like jealousy feels a little bit more like scarcity minded where I don't know. Like, I feel like evens the playing field a little bit.
I have like the opposite response, right? That like jealousy feels a little more like catty and pedestrian almost. And envy feels a little more like elevated, right? And maybe this idea that envy also, like, I think over the years I've come to see them as things that like point you, like if you get curious about them, they'll point you to something that you want or need. Like, they have valuable information on them, but I think that they can feel icky. And I think we can shut it down. And I think sometimes when we don't name them, and I may be jumping way ahead, but it leads to like very catty and not great behavior, right? So if I'm jealous of someone and are envious and I can't like name all of that, I get really kind of shitty. Like Charlotte, like for instance, like her volleyball team, they've had a few changes and this other girl's playing the same position and she, I think, has felt like threatened by it and jealous. And so she becomes kind of not very kind, right? And so helping put words to that and actually use the analogy of a pie, like, Charlotte, you have the scarcity mindset. Do you know what that is? She's like, who in the world knows what a scarcity mindset is, mom? Like, whatever. So I explained the pie, like, you're acting like there's a finite number of pieces of pie when really everyone, like, just because she's doing well, you can do well, like everyone can do well. She's like, that's so not true. I'm like, oh, I'll just plant the seeds. Hopefully they'll take root.
But yeah. Yeah.
I digress.
Well, I think even like in therapy, especially, I'll hear people say, well, I'm not a jealous person.
Yes.
And I'm like, we're all jealous people.
There is a judgment on that.
Yes. And this like kind of wanting to just get rid of that feeling before really unpacking it maybe, or trying to see what it has for you as far as meaning. Yeah.
So you kind of alluded to it, Lucy, about like which one is sort of more acceptable for you anyways, jealousy or envy. Where do you think we're at kind of society wise? Like, which do you think is kind of more either talked about or just kind of like more okay, I guess, to have which emotion?
I may be totally off, but I feel like people are talking about this more than like when we were younger.
Oh, for sure.
I hear my kids sometimes being like, oh, you're so jelly, right? Like in terms of like jealous, you know, they like use that expression. Oh, that makes me so jealous. Or I feel like they kind of are like normalized it and can let it like roll off them a little more. But I don't know that I hear, especially younger people, using the word envious quite as much. I think jealousy might be more commonly used.
I think that's probably true. I think about how much social media just seems like the obvious. I mean, that there's so much potential there for comparison. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even what you're describing is like, even as a grown woman, you're still having that kind of comparative jealousy or envy on social media. But I also think about like in relationships, like jealousy seems like something when I hear somebody say, I'm not a jealous person, it kind of means like, I'm not jealous in relationships. I don't always think that my partner's cheating or whatever.
And sometimes like I hear like the opposite, like, Why aren't you jealous? Like, don't you care enough about me? I hear that too sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So for me, I feel like, yes, like jealousy is more talked about, maybe a little bit more acceptable. People are able to use that phrase. But like you were saying, Lucy, I don't think envy is talked about very much. I don't necessarily think that people label that emotion as that. And even like Brené Brown, you know, in all of her gloriousness, is kind of in her newest book, Atlas of the Heart, she asks the question, is it in our upbringing and our culture to feel shame about feeling envy? So she's been kind of also mulling it over and thinking about like, okay, as a society, you know, how are we responding to this feeling that we all have? So let's talk about our own experiences then. I shared a little bit about mine in just one very small area. So as I said before, envy usually involves some sort of comparison to people similar to us in some kind of way. So we tend to envy what we see as a possibility for ourselves. So thinking about us, are there who and what have you guys been envious of and how does it come out?
And I think you're right too. Like, the more similarities we have with the person that we're like comparing ourselves with, I think the more likely we are to be envious. Yes. So if there was someone else who had like similar training, was in a similar field, also working with eating disorders, maybe also a mom, like that threat level feels higher than if it was like, you know, a 70-year-old man who, you know, like, does that make sense? The more similarities match up, I think the more likely we are to feel envious.
Right. Cause I'm not envious of anybody that I watch on the Olympics. I'm like, wow, go for it. You're amazing. That's awesome. Like there's no envy, just more just
exactly.
Because there's no part of that that I've ever been able to do. And there's no, like, I find no similarity there. But I love what you're saying about it. It's really how much more similar you are to that person that really can kind of trigger that, like, oh, if only, or if you can do it, why can't I do it? And that's where I'm thinking, like, the Olympics, like, you know, if you can do it, the reason why I can't do it is I've never been able to do gymnastics. Like, that's obvious. Like, we had different paths when we were 18 months old.
And none of your identity is wrapped up in being a gymnast.
Right.
Like, there's not like an oda of like sense of self where gymnast like plays into it at all.
Exactly. So it's interesting because I think that there is that huge appreciation you can have for people that are way the hell outside of your sphere of like, damn, that's good that you can do that. I'm so impressed. Or sometimes I'll say, like, even when we're like at theme parks, I'm so glad to live at a time where people are creating these rides and these like amazing like experiences. Like, that's just like an awe. But this envy gets triggered when it is a mental health professional, I would say like psychologist or a person that has things that I do, not only similarities, but like that I find my identity in. I mean, so we could have similarities like people from, you know, Jackson, Mississippi, but I don't have a lot of identity wrapped up in that. Yeah. And so it really is similarity and overlap of like, this is really important to me. And this idea of, well, it's really important to me, it's really important to you, but look at everything you've done with it. And it kind of that downward comparison can trigger that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how are some ways then, like, behaviorally that things come out? So you sort of talked about Charlotte a little bit and maybe like some of the behaviors or comments, you know, that she makes. What are some things that you see or have done?
I think for me, like, another area where I find myself being envious is like people who like have perfectly pulled together houses or like look perfectly pulled together. But I think I don't get so, I'm not like Charlotte in terms of like getting so angry with them, but it's a little bit like it turns inward around like, well, what's wrong with me? And like, what do I need to do different? And how do I need to fix things or change things? Or like that not enoughness that gets triggered. So it feels like more internal. I definitely think I can have the catty judgmental thoughts someone you're envious of, and you can kind of like find yourself being critical of like, oh, they suck, or like trying to find things that are wrong with them to help yourself feel better. That's the other thing that Charlotte said to me recently too. It was actually that same day we were having the conversation, and we were in the car, and a few minutes later, she's like, you know, Mom, when I talk bad about others, it makes me feel much better about myself. It's a really good strategy. I was like, Charlotte, right? Like, I tried to talk about the downsides, but she's convinced it's a good way to go.
Well, we do have a lot of these things where,
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, like, it is. I mean, it's protective in a way. You know, when you do that. There's even a German word for it where we delight when like other people get torn down.
What is it, the Schadenfreude?
Yeah, Schadenfreude. And I'm kind of wondering if the phrase like, oh, you're throwing shade, like, does it come from that?
Wonder.
Like, I don't know. That just kind of occurred to me. So I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure you've seen that, or I know that I've definitely done that. Like, you know, real famous people, you know, pride comes before a fall, you know, whatever, like they so wonderful and everybody's been singing their praises, and then something comes out about them and it's like, well, yeah,
you are that human makes sense. After all.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, ha ha, like you got yours, that kind of behavior or thought, thinking, way of thinking or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it is common.
I think in my younger years, I would really like that would activate a lot of competitiveness of like, I need to prove that I'm okay, you know, somehow. And I love this interplay between envy and shame. Mm-hmm. I really like that because I think that's the emotion that gets triggered for me. And I think in my younger years, when I would have that shame, I would kind of puff up and really need to try to like prove that I was better than or okay or whatever. I think now I probably do a better job of like responding over reacting, but there still is that feeling that just so quickly goes to me, right? I mean, like, what's wrong with me? Why haven't I been able to do that? Like, I've had the same opportunities, maybe more. Why have I not been able to, whatever? Like, it's usually not, I don't want them to have it, but it's more, well, if they can have it, why can't I have it? And what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
What did I do wrong? You know, what have I not done? Yeah. It so quickly gets angled right back to me.
Yeah. So almost like both of you are sort of alluding to like a ruminative kind of quality to it too. Like when you go internal.
Avery and I ruminate? Never. That's so contrary to our personalities.
Never heard anyone say that. Yeah. So new. But it is interesting because I think, I mean, this is not shocking, always been ruminative, but I think that in the past I would be so reactive to it. Yeah. And I know, I think about the times that I felt maybe not so much jealousy or envy, but somehow like shame, like felt like somebody is, I don't know, making a statement on my ability, especially within the psychological, you know, world, that I will admit, like in the younger years, I would immediately react of like, no, let me tell you how qualified I am. Let me tell you how, you know,
bow up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think now I don't get that questioning as much. I mean, because I'm not new in the field, but I think also like, it's like, huh, that's interesting. And I can kind of sometimes think about what it might have to do with the person that's saying that, but it's much more shame for me. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what gets triggered quickly.
And I think for me, like, I will definitely vacillate between the two of like, oh, you know, like, this person's driving me crazy, you know, like, what a bitch, like, or whatever, you know, and then like go into that kind of like, well, why can't I be that way? Why can't I do that? Why can't I have that? And then usually for me, it'll just, I'll just kind of shut down and try to put it out of my head. So mm-hmm. like when I notice like feelings of envy and stuff coming up on social media, it's like, boop, mm-hmm. get out of there. Yeah, take a break. Get out of there. Yeah. I need to take a break from it. So we touched on that a little bit earlier. So what do you feel instead of envy for folks who are outside of your sphere of comparison? So we kind of talked a little bit about it before, but let's elaborate on that a little bit. So if envy has a lot to do with people that are similar to us and it's tied up into our identity, for folks that aren't, who are doing maybe amazing things, what kinds of feelings come up for you guys?
I love that word that you said, awe. Like that is, I think that is how it's like awe. And I know, I mean, it really even, it can happen with anybody, but I know like right now, Wes is really into music and doing amazing with music. And I have never played a stringed instrument. I've never played a guitar, a bass, anything. And I'm just like, I'm in awe. It's like, wow, that is amazing that you can do that. Remember that, make your hands do that. I mean, like it just, it's so much appreciation. I think that may be another thing that's come as I've gotten older. I think when I was younger, there would be like, it would be very hard to have that awe feeling. And it would be much more like, well, why can't I do that? I should be doing that. What's wrong with me? Like, it would kind of trigger that.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. I feel like as I've gotten older, it's like so much easier to say, wow, that's amazing. You can do that mm-hmm. and not feel this pull of like, I got to sign up for guitar lessons, you know?
But I wonder, and like, for me, maybe there's this thread. I don't know if it makes any sense, but like, inspirational envy almost, right? So you see something like that and you think, wow, that's so amazing. Like maybe something could be possible for me too. Does that make sense? Like, so seeing someone excel or achieve really great things, I think can be inspiring, basically is what I'm trying to say. And I don't know if there's a thread of envy that gets pulled into that around like, ooh, I kind of, there's something about that that seems appealing to me or like I might want it or that feels magnetic or really interesting. But kind of the idea that these great things can be possible and why, like, how amazing is that?
Yeah. And maybe in more of just kind of like a general sort of sense, you know, like for me, like that general kind of inspiration. And I think, you know, for me, I usually swing two ways. It's either a lot of admiration or I don't care at all. Like, it's like, it doesn't apply to me, you know, whatever. I don't have any of a desire to do that or this or whatever. So it's no threat to me at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes it's helpful. I mean, maybe this is where that Schadenfreude is kind of based, is like to remember that these people are just people. I mean, that there are certainly geniuses that walk among us. I mean, there's no question in that, right? But I think that also, I think especially now, I don't know if this is new now, it feels like it is, but between like podcasts, reality shows, and social media, I feel like we get such a window into famous people's real lives. And I think that that's not something I had growing up with. I mean, we would see people in magazines and that was about it. But now it's like, you know what, like Meryl Streep's living room looks like because of COVID. And she was, you know, on a Zoom call in her living room or whatever. Like, it feels like we've got a much bigger window. And in some ways it can feel like envy, like, oh my gosh, these are just normal people and they can do these amazing things. Why can't I? But I think it's also the flip side's true of like, these are just normal people. And like that inspirational part, like they've been able to do these amazing things. And so maybe that's possible for me too.
And I also hear that compassion in there, that like that common humanity, that's like a key feature of compassion. And that when we shift more to that of like, oh, these are just people and they're doing amazing things. Like, but we slide more to the compassion rather than to the envy maybe.
Yeah.
And I think for me, like even just with all the social media stuff and, you know, with reels on Instagram and TikTok and all of that kind of stuff, just every day, people doing things that are creative or funny or entertaining. And sometimes I walk away with like, I could be friends with that person. You know, like, again, there's like this compassionate piece. Mm-hmm. It was funny. I came across, you know, when I was on Instagram, I'll look at reels and stuff will pop up on my feed. And I noticed, like, I do have a lot of admiration for people that are like artistic or creative types or dancers or whatever. And I've been obsessed with this one guy. His account is called Backwards Hat Dancer. And he does improv swing dancing, which I did not know was a thing. I did not know, where you just go to this competition and you are randomly paired with a person and they randomly choose a song and then you swing dance to it with this random stranger or whatever. And I had to check with Megan, our resident dancer psychologist, and she's like, yes, it is a thing. I'm like, there's no way this wasn't choreographed. So he has this reel where he's swing dancing with this woman to Meghan Trainor song. And I will have to show you what this looks like afterwards because it is so cute and so impressive. And they are having such a good time that I've watched this thing probably 25 times.
You'll have to link to it.
I will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll have to link to it. So yeah, I think that, and then, you know, for folks that are like very gifted in certain areas, like, you know, elite athletes, I tend to watch a lot of documentaries for whatever reason on folks like that. And I think, again, it's just because I'm so impressed by their skills, but it's not a threat to me whatsoever. It's just like impressed and like, wow, you know, you have such a gift that you can show off to everybody.
And with those documentaries, it's like, yes, there is a gift. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the amount of work
yes,
that goes into that, I think that that's something that's been a real, I don't know, like maybe there's been some curtain peeling back kind of on that. Like I've been listening to a lot of different podcasts where it does talk to these famous people. And it's like these people, like Paul McCartney is one that I've been listening to. I've gone on a deep dive with him. And it's like, he is Paul McCartney. He's amazing. There's no question. And he worked his ass off. Like he has worked so hard for so long trying to perfect this gift I believe he had, but also it's not just a talent. And I think that that's something I thought when I was younger too, is like, there's something special and unique and like superhuman about this person. And it's like, yes, that can be true. And it's a hell of a lot of hard work, especially with these elite athletes. I mean, the amount of training and specific, like narrow types of, I mean, there's so much that goes into, like a whole team that goes into that. And it's like, wow, that's really, I mean, it was fascinating, but two, it can kind of let you off that envious hook of like, damn, they didn't just wake up one day and decide to do this thing. They've had years of practice and I'm just seeing their like little highlight reel at the very end. Yeah.
So I think that if we haven't said it enough, I think it's really important to point out that envy is one of the universal emotions that we as humans all experience. So I think it's really the time to start normalizing it. So instead of shutting it down, I think it's really important for us to examine it closely, pay attention to it, because there are some pros to this emotion.
By the way, when we do that, it totally changes our experience of
it. For sure.
Right. So instead of coming out sideways and feeling really icky, like at least I've noticed in my life when I can practice that compassion and name it, oh, I'm feeling envious about blah, blah, blah. That's what that is. That's envy. Like, hello, right? That just can like settle it and quiet it. And then I can move on. I don't have to get all wrapped up in it.
Yeah. So I've come up with like 5 pros for envy. So why don't we just briefly talk about this as we sort of get towards the end of our show. So I think first things first, when we pay attention to envy, it shows us what we want, right? This is actually a good thing to be able to identify what we want, what we need. And it's a way of telling us, hey, we may want this experience for ourselves. We may want this opportunity and we have dreams, we have choices and how to get there. And I think that that's very important.
Can we take a step back too? So I think that one of the most important things to talk about with envy too is often, especially as we're getting to know envy, I don't think the first thing we realize is that we're envious. I think the first thing you're going to notice is you start like shit talking or judging someone else or yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. And I love the example, a mentor of ours, Taylor, who was on our podcast this summer, tells this story about like being at her son's baseball tournament. And there was this other mom who was like, hey, are you going to be around today? Could you watch my son's bag? And she's like, yeah. You know, they were at like a travel tournament out of state someplace. And the woman's like, yeah, I'm going to go on this hike and then to a yoga class and whatever. And Taylor shares the story about her initial reaction was to be really judgy of this woman and like, oh my God, what kind of mom does that? You come all this way and then you leave. But as she got curious about it, she realized like she was envious. Like she would have loved to have permission to go take care of herself and tend to herself. And she was actually wanted to do that
rather than feeling like this was an awful person. So I do think that just, you know, a general warning that often it shows up as kind of criticism or judgment, and then we have to like get at the enemy underneath.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're pointing to the second, you use the word permission, that it helps us really zero in and speak our truth because it gives us permission to do that once we recognize it. How about other pros?
Okay, so like when I think about this, like permission to do so, I think about one of the times I felt probably the most envious is when we read Lori Gottlieb's book, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, because it was like, Wes and I have this thing where we're saying like, first of all, how dare you? But it's like, that's how I felt. It's like, first of all, how dare you get out of your lane? Like you're supposed to, first of all, this is all supposed to be like confidential. You're never supposed to talk about your patient. Like I had a lot of that judgy, first of all, how dare you? But it was like, whoa, you did get out of your lane. And like, that's really exciting and cool. So I think this like permission to do so, it really can do that. And I think as you were saying, like that first feeling can be like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. And then it can kind of be like, oh, wait a minute. That's really me feeling like I don't have permission to do that. And maybe if I gave myself permission, I could get, you know, a little more flexible around that. And I think that kind of this ties into another kind of the next one that you have here on your list of like, it helps prioritize our own wants, needs, and desires. So it's kind of like you have permission to want these things or to say, oh, I want some of that thing that you have over there. And so then you can kind of tune in and say, oh, that's interesting. Like, would you like to write a book like Lori Gottlieb? Yes, yes, I would. Would you like to use your clinical experience to do something else? Yes, yes, I would. But that all comes when you're curious and not shit talking the other person or shit talking yourself for having this feeling or getting caught in shame. I get mired down in that a lot, that it kind of really can, when you freed up, you can really kind of use it to communicate to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think all of that is another pro here is like, once we can clearly identify what we want and need and like put words to that and have direction, that really increases our motivation to work hard to pursue that.
Because it changes from like something you're envious about that you almost like, quote, maybe wish that other person didn't do it to like, oh, I could do it. Let's set a goal. It kind of makes it something that you're like, I want that. And let me narrow it down for me. What would
you're like empowered to take action rather? Because I think envy can sometimes be very helpless. Like this thing is happening out there in the world and I feel powerless and helpless and not enough. And so this moves us into more of like a stance of empowerment, maybe. That's right.
Yes. I think so. And I think one of the reasons sometimes it can be, envy can be kind of paralyzing is because we may have had all or nothing or black and white definition of success, you know, or we may view it as that person's successful because, you know, they were born that way or it's due to luck or whatever. But if we really kind of examine and get underneath all of that, it can help us redefine like, okay, what's going to be successful for me? What's going to feel good for me? Yeah.
It kind of comes back to that. Like, I think envy is really that question of like, well, why not me? And that kind of at the end of this, it's like, well, why not me? Right? Like, why wouldn't I be able to do something? Like, I might not write the book that Lori Gottlieb wrote, but why not me? Why can't I do something that I want to do that's different? And so I think it can really kind of whittle down and get to that goal setting and that kind of like, what is something that would feel successful for you? Is that something you want to kind of shift a bit?
Awesome. Well, I think that's going to do it for today. What are we going to talk about next time?
Next time is our 100th episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about milestones.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, listeners. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thank you for joining us for this episode.
Subscribe to Inspiration from the Couch wherever you access your podcasts.
We always welcome your feedback. Visit us on our website at inspirationfromthecouch.com.